Hello and welcome to Arcane Connection, episode 13. And this week you're greeted by the howling of wolves because we're going to be talking about House Bjornir. And in particular, a campaign that I've been running now for several months in which all of the characters are members of House Bjornir. So Lloyd, can you remember how that came about?
Well, I think it was we all wanted to play House Bjornir. Particularly there's a story seed in the Bjornir book about Ardia, the head of County Fifitu, and who's has the seat on the Council of Bjornir. And apparently she's meant to be the last of her line, and apparently no heron's been born into the line of Bjornir mages for several years, and they believe that the house is cursed.
So, because of that, what had actually happened in our regular game was we'd reached a natural stopping point. It wasn't the end of the campaign, but it was a point where we wanted to wait until we had something else that we could move on to. And we wanted a break. It had been a high-powered game. It had involved being set in an alternative take on Stonehenge. The characters had been flying around Mythic Europe in a flying ship for years, doing a lot of playtest games. That's a fair summary, isn't it?
Yeah, it's easier.
And we wanted to do something different after a few years of that game. And I asked them, quite simply, which tribunal do you want to play in, and where did you decide to go?
It's Thebes in the end.
Yeah, I mean, what appealed to you about Greece?
It's a very different style of running a tribunal, and it's also completely different to how Stonehenge and certain more Western tribunals and countries.
Well, as you've probably gathered, I've been joined tonight by Lloyd Graney. Some of you will know Lloyd from message boards, or more likely from Grand Tribunal. And Lloyd's been involved with the Ars Magica community for many, many years now. Lloyd's a regular player in the games that I run, along with Tom and Kev, who often join me on these arcade connections. House Bjornir is, I believe, one of your favourite houses to play.
It's not one of my favourites, but certainly with the focus of this campaign, I want to play Bjornir Mages because it's one I've simply not played before long-term in a campaign.
Right, so it was because it was different.
It was different. It's one of the mystery houses that I haven't investigated.
And because of that, it was really going to be a very exotic, unusual game. It's set in Thebes with the unusual hermetic polity down there.
Yes.
I was an author on that book, and even I struggle sometimes to work out how it all works with the ostracoi, the metacoi, the shards, tokens, ostracism. I mean, you know, it's a very, very different setup. On top of that, all but one player chose to be House Bjornir. So Phil chose to play a House Bonasarkus Magi. And that's actually caused a bit of an issue in the way the campaign's going. When you're planning your saga, it's always good to think about how the characters are going to relate to one another. And I think the problem we've got with Phil's character is that you've all gone to the Gathering of the 12 Years, which has been, what, the last four sessions?
Last four or five sessions, yes.
Four or five sessions. And Phil's character had no reason to go along, so he took his companion, Euphonia the dragon. Yep, we have a fairy dragon as a companion.
We do.
Oh, sorry, he's a magical dragon.
He's a magical dragon, yes.
However, I mean, how's it working out for you playing a single focus game based upon House Bjornir?
I think it's going quite well. It means the nature of what the characters we've chosen, because we're all playing herons as our heart beast.
Three of you have got the same heart beast.
The same heart beast. We're very much getting into the politics of House Bjornir and all the various political backstabbings and going on behind the scenes.
The different clans. I mean, we also have, as well as the three herons, we have Simon, who's the fabulous dolphin.
The fabulous dolphin.
He became fabulous as a result of a Twilight episode. And we also have Phlegon, played by Pete Hiley, who is a salamander.
A salamander.
And is incredibly lazy.
And incredibly, yes.
The temperaments have actually been quite important, haven't they? The different temperaments in the Bjornir book. I mean, I don't think I would have wanted to attempt this if I wasn't using House of Hermes Mystery Cult.
No. You need to have all the extended rules in the Mystery Cults
to make it more interesting.
Yes.
I suppose, at heart, Bjornir campaigns are normally about guardians of nature and the environment, and about the conflict between the expanding dominion, expanding mortal realm, and the natural world. And in Ars Magica, nature is defined, the wilderness is defined in many ways as the seat of magic. But in fact, our saga has had many other elements, hasn't it? I mean, you've been involved with hermetic politics, intrigue, backstabbing, and dealing with other covenants, and with the Bonasargus also starting off as a spring covenant, generating a large number of books. Is a single house, does it give you enough diversity to make it interesting, especially, as you say, with three of you playing the same heartbeast, the heron?
So far, it seems to work out. I mean, obviously, the campaign progresses, and obviously, just that we start getting characters die off, we may decide to go around different routes. But yes, I mean, I think my heron character is fun to play. So we've all created characters that come from different areas of the of the various tribunals in Mythic Europe. I mean, my character Adam comes from, has been apprenticed in England, and has come over, who's been transported over to Greece. So all the herons of House Bjorn are all in one location, so they can be protected.
Or wiped out in a single. Except for our dear of Colonel Fetu, who remains back at Krynterra. One of the structural problems with running a fast saga is that very often recurring events come up and the play stops because, you know, you have to run an adventure at that point. We're running 1 year downtime per session we run. So I suppose so far we've covered about, we started in 1215.
We're in
1227. We've covered 12 years. We're actually now 13 weeks behind our plan. So we're actually running at 1 week equals 2 years.
Yeah.
And if we try and catch up, it will get complicated. Now there's reasons for that. One of the reasons is that adventures have a tendency to creep beyond the single session that we plan for them to try and keep it running at speed. And we end up sometimes doing three or four sessions, don't we?
The nature of how our play group works, or how we discuss things and how we approach certain problems that come up in the various sagas. We do seem to extend what probably a story seed that should probably take a session to resolve can take three or four.
Yeah, and on top of that, you also have the gathering of the 12 years. So every 12 years, or every 3 months of our saga, you'll be back at Krynterra, dealing with Bjornair politics and the Danish invasion, the situation on Rügen. You know, I mean, there's a lot going on.
And also you've got all the additional tribunal meetings as well that we're choosing to run.
Every 7 years.
Yeah. Which are obviously slightly different to your average tribunal meeting due to the nature of the politics in Greece.
Yeah, I mean, the complicated system of the Theban polity does mean that anyone could be appointed. Though so far, even though I made all those tokens so that we could randomly assign magi to roles,
yeah,
which is the way the Greek system works, or the Theban system works, so far it's never actually happened that a player character has been chosen to take a role. The game is set on Thera, Santorini, the island of Santorini, around a volcano. You know that there is a titan trying to get free underneath it. You know that there are cultists who are trying to assist him in that. The Greek equivalent of the Makai, I believe they're called, the equivalent of the Mospeli, and that they are trying to free the titans and usher in a new magical age, and you're fairly determined to stop that happening. I'm not quite sure why you're so strongly determined to stop it happening.
Well, because the way it's been presented to us in the campaign is if the titans are awoken, that'll effectively be the end of the world as we know it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's beyond a shadow of a doubt. As a campaign, though, I mean, the thing which makes it almost unique is the fact that it is so heavily centred on a single house.
Yes.
What other houses do you think you could do that with? I mean, with a fast campaign, if you were playing over the web, certainly, I think, Bonus Argus.
Bonus Argus, yep, certainly.
Because you could have a research campaign modelled upon a real-world style university or science project style project. Yes.
Particularly when you got the use of all the folios and the other things out of the Bonus Argus section of them. The Houses of Hermes books.
Yeah.
That's the sort of way you could certainly plan out with House Bonus Argus. Or even House Yarberton as well.
How would House Yarberton would perhaps... A game set in Florence involving sponsoring a number of mortal artists, though. I don't think they're involved with art and nobility in the same way they used to be. Though the aesthetic of beauty is very much there, though, isn't there?
It is, yes.
And House Yarberton would be an excellent fit for a Theban campaign, because you could, you know, the icon, the whole dispute, the complicated issue in Byzantine history about the icons could really be something you could discuss.
Yeah, because House Yarberton is the house that deals with mortal politics, and obviously there's such different way organised in Greece.
There's a big change between 4th edition and the current edition there, because in the earlier editions they were largely involved with mortal politics. Now they are advocates of graceful living, aren't they? Beautiful living and beauty. So yeah, Creamon. An obvious choice it would be an entirely Creamon campaign. That could be interesting if you wanted to investigate pre-Socratic Greek philosophy.
Yes.
If you had a group of people who were really into actual mysticism or philosophy, and a story guide who was willing to run a story about finding the answer to the enigma.
Yes.
I think it'd be a really difficult campaign to pull off well, but I think you could do it.
Yeah, you can. You would be able to do it. But I think the story guide may be driven mad through the process.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, I can't think it would be the easiest one to do. Maybe next year we should have a grand tribunal that's themed around a particular house.
Yeah, that'll be good.
By grand tribunal, I mean the UK role-playing game convention for Ars Magica, not an actual game Ars Grand Tribunal. House Creamon Grand Tribunal might be more than mind could bear. In fact, it might drive us all completely nuts. But House Creamon's actually very interesting. I think there's a lot of potential there for a Creamon-only game. Tutelus. You could just play Paranoia, really, couldn't you?
Paranoia in the Ars Magica, yes.
Yeah.
In the Ars Magica world.
I mean, Tutelus is a game... A Tutelan campaign would be about power politics.
Yes.
About struggle.
Yeah, trying to get one upmanship over your fellow magi.
Nietzschean in approach. That which does not kill me makes me stronger.
Yeah.
And the characters would be constantly in competition. So if you wanted to play a game of backstabbing internal politics, a very political game perhaps in one way, but then again, Tutelans all wish to excel in their own personal way. And, you know, they're different styles to the whole Tutelan phenomenon. So, House Tremere?
House Tremere, definitely. They're meant to be the soldiers of the Order, so yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. Clearly, you could play... I mean, if you wanted to play in Transylvania... A Tremere-only campaign would work beautifully, I think.
Yeah, particularly as they're trying to bring about their New World Order.
Yeah, their utopia, yeah. The plan. How's Verdicious?
Verdicious, if you were sending it round, say, a group of craftsmen all coming together, trying to sell their wares.
The only problem with doing a sole House Verdicious campaign would be that eventually the characters' hubris would get to the point where they hated one another, engaged in vendettas, and it would probably be more violent than the House Tutelus one.
It would probably lead that way, yes.
Yeah.
If you're following the extended rules and of the Verdi book.
Role-playing games, generally, I find, work best when the players are united against a single threat. Okay, which house have we missed out? Guernica's, obviously.
Yes.
Your classic cop show.
Yeah.
Yeah, your investigative mystery. You could take your troop and they could be an entire saga could be focused on one tribunal's quisitors and
or you could act like troubleshooters for House Guernica, going around Mythic Europe trying to solve all the mysteries and problems.
Yeah. That could work really well. I mean, that's another possibility with Bonus Argus would be that you play Trianomai, who are the diplomats, and that you're, say, somewhere in the Levant trying to negotiate a peace settlement with the Order of Suleiman, or sent into Scandinavia to try and make contact with the Order of Odin, and trying to deal with the Order of Odin. So single house campaigns, I think, are possibly overlooked. I mean, you know, up until, I think it was the 12th century, according to my reading of the canonical history, the majority of covenants were still very much... No, it's the 10th century, I think, when they brought in more and more mixed covenants. But originally, many of the houses did have single house covenants. Okay, so, Merenita. You get a lot of use out of Realm of Power Faerie.
You would do, yes.
And there are some fantastic Merenita mysteries. What else could you do? Merenita, yeah, that's a strong possibility, I think. Not as obvious as Guernica's. Flombo. A Flombo-only saga.
A Flombo-only saga would... Again, go around DDing with all the enemies of the Order. I'm not sure if that would work, though.
A Macare one, where you had a group... I mean, there aren't enough gifted red caps in the Order to ace everybody as the Magi, but you could certainly do a red cap-based game.
Well, you bind by basically one of the Mercer houses, or have all the player characters basically running their own Mercer house and distributing messages around to all the covenants of a particular tribunal. The
problem is they don't tend to work together as a group, so the adventures would feature each week one red cap. What would everybody else play? Friends, acquaintances, sisters?
Well, I'm assuming that the red caps got an entire network of them, because they're the ones that do all the viz distribution. They often find hard to find items for the members of the Order.
So are there any houses we've missed out? With Bjorne, Creamon, Wodicius, Tutelus, Tremere, Merenita, Kere, Blombo. Probably, but I can't think of which one it is.
Ex-Misc.
Oh, Ex-Miscellanea.
Ex-Miscellanea.
Well, we've already done that almost, in that our last saga had, was it three different Ex-Miscellanea from different traditions?
They did, yes.
I mean, Ex-Miscellanea, because the small house approach, you could have such disparate characters. Now, problem with a single character type game where everybody has a similar house is that years and years and years ago, I played an awful lot of a role-playing game called Pendragon, set in Arthurian Britain, in which everybody is a knight. And eventually, actually, we played it for 3 or 4 years on and off, but then we just got fed up with everybody playing a knight because there wasn't enough disparity between the knights. They all had roughly similar skills. And what differentiates them in that game is their personality traits. Now, you've got virtues and flaws, completely different magic. So I think Ars Magica could handle it much, much better. I mean,
particularly with something like House Ex-Miscellanea, there is so much variety within that one house that I feel you could have lots of fun playing all sorts of different hedge wizards all coming together for a common cause.
So on the whole, you think that... Is it a strong and underlooked technique, this idea of a single house focus for a saga?
Yes, I think some of these could be explored, particularly with some of the more sort of esoteric houses.
So, House Bjornir. That's what we're playing at the moment. What makes for a good Bjornir adventure?
Well, the ones I've most enjoyed is finding out, is actually going into the background of the mysteries of the house, actually going finding ancestor spirits, communicating with them.
Oh, actually finding the ancestors and the great beasts.
Because that is how in House Bjornir you meant to get to the inner mysteries of the house. Certainly, some of the major ones you're meant to find your ancestor spirits and communicate with them.
Well, they're not even spirits technically; they're still very much alive, as you've discovered. Yeah. I mean, you know, even Berna Bjornir herself is still roaming the forests of Pomerania,
bringing death
to her enemies and fighting against the shape changers. The shape changers are the ancient enemy of the house, the skin changers, shape changers. I'm not actually sure which they're meant to be. In our game, they're actually shape changers, but in other games, they may be skin changers. But the shape changers have caused centuries of misery. And how are you finding them?
So far, they are the enemies of the Order. I mean, sort of annihilate them on the spot. Exactly, that is how.
Yeah.
Certainly, what my character is brought up to believe that the shape changers are evil and must be eliminated at all costs.
Yeah, but I mean, if you actually read the background to House Bjornir, there is an element that Berna was a traitor who took their magical secrets, and because she'd been bullied and didn't get on well with her fellow sister witches of Pomerania, she went to the Order of Hermes when she met Trianoma, denounced her friends.
Yes.
And did not give them the opportunity to join.
No.
So, in fact, there's quite a dark element to the history of House Bjornir.
Well,
but you're finding it an enjoyable game because you're exploring that element. I think it would have worked much better if we'd set it in the Rhine, where Krynterra's nearer, where the Guardians of the Forest element's really central. I think for a Rhine-based game, being set on an island in Greece gives you a lot less potential. Because you're in the Med, the wilderness there, it is wilderness. I mean, it's the only desert, effective desert climate in the whole of Europe, is on Santorini Fira, but you're there. It's a very dry, arid landscape. But apart from the local donkeys, the rocks, the pools, and the lagoon, and the sea, I suppose it can work, yeah. And there is, of course, I've completely forgotten the name. It's not Delphini. There's a covenant, which is it's got a Triton, Poseidon's son, as the actual sponsor. Aegea, I think it is.
Aegea,
yeah. Has a House Bjornir sept, if you like. Right, now, problems I've discovered while running. Okay, when you run a single house, obviously you have to pay a great deal of attention. And one of the things I've been doing is working out the lineage for House Bjornir for each of the characters. So they know something about their ancestors. I mean, you've discovered one of yours so far.
I've discovered one of mine, yes.
Well, you've discovered the story. You understand more of the importance of one of yours. And I've been tracing it back to the five original apprentices of Bjornir, one of whom was a traitor and was killed, and the others of whom went on to form lineages. And of those apprentices of Bjornir, you know, which lead to the modern clan, you work it out that they haven't actually managed to train that many apprentices, otherwise there'd be a lot more. Because I think the rules, if you read Hands of Hermes Mystery Cults, it does suggest that there's only 78 Bjornir in the Order.
Yes, there's very few Bjornir in the Order.
Now, they are then divided into the clans, which works really well.
It does, yeah.
But then, the clans are divided into septs. And septs are obviously going to be cross-tribunal, because I think that they have they don't necessarily have the same clan, they have the same temperament. And as such, septs, in fact, I think they are of the same clan as well. Yes, they are, because they're linked by lineage, so they must be of the same clan. So septs probably only have two or three members, from what I can work out. I've been trying to do the mathematics on this, and it has become an issue. I would actually recommend increasing the number of Bjornir, if you're going to do a Bjornir-only campaign, to about 140. Because although that might seem to make the player characters less important, it does mean that there are more Bjornir around for them to interact with and more chances. But we've stuck with 78 for our game, and it's worked reasonably well, hasn't it?
Well, I said that could be the entire problem with any other house as well, because I mean, there's only meant to be, say, about 1200 magi across the entire order,
of which only 12, I believe, are gifted Mekere.
Yes,
which when you look at the number of options there are for gifted Mekere to join society, you know, societies and cults within House Mekere, the numbers soon become very, very, very short.
As I said, you might have to play with the numbers.
Yeah, play with the numbers a bit to make it work. In our version of Thebes, you've got, I think it's 12 Bjornir, which is a lot more than you would get in most tribunals. But Thebes is definitely like Novgorod and Rhine, a Bjorne heavy tribunal. I suppose if you just took the number 78, divide it by 13, you've got about 6 Bjorne on average in a tribunal. And there's a few more than that in Thebes, twice as many in Thebes, which means there presumably some tribunals where there are a lot less. Playing Bjorne, the Heart Beast. How do you find your Heart Beast?
I find my Heart Beast great fun to play. Now we've actually got the proper stats for
a heron. But there is this problem, it was raised on the forum a few weeks ago, that concentration is a general skill, so therefore you get the heron's conjure. I was just imagining somebody if they were a goldfish heart beast.
Yes.
Sorry? What? Yeah. What? 3 seconds later? What? No, actually, goldfish don't have 3 second memories, I do know that. And they're not noble beasts, I assume. Or are they? I can see a goldfish being a noble beast. But herons are fun. I mean, they're not exactly combat monsters, are they?
No, you've got to be creative with them. Your spells and abilities, because they don't have that many health levels, so can be killed fairly easily.
And having a fear of storms and a weakness for fish has led you into a few interesting situations.
And also with Kevin's heron, he's also has no sense of direction, so that's causes problems.
Well, that's gonna any kind of bird that can fly long distances but has no sense of direction.
And the other thing I found in the campaign is your house lore, Bjorne lore, it becomes critically important, particularly when you start doing any of the
initiations,
going mystery cults, or doing anything with the politics.
Well, I think we're about 12 years in so far, and nobody's actually bothered to initiate into anything other than the outer mystery of House Bjorne so far.
Well, that's because you've got to find your ancestor spirit, communicate with them, and do several things before that can happen.
For the inner mysteries,
Also, your House Bjorne will have to get some of the really sort of nice inner mystery ones. Your House Bjorne has got to be at least 5, which means...
I do like the mysteries. They're very well designed. I mean, I will say, whoever did, Mark Shirley, I believe, did House of Hermes Mystery Cults, Bjorne chapter, and he did a fantastic job because he took a system, managed to write rules that worked with what was in the main rulebook. I think the only thing that changed was the size of a rat, like the size of a cow. And having changed the size of a rat, he managed to, his numbers all work and the quality system works. I do think it's a really, really nicely done book. And I do think that Bjorne mysteries are fantastic. I mean, ferriomorphic. Who would not want to be half man, half heron? It's like half man, half biscuit, only sillier.
That's one of the things I want to do with my character.
What, ferriomorphic?
Yeah, ferriomorphic.
My particular favourite is sensory magic. How sensory magic works, if you've never played at Bjorne mystery, is that anyone who sees, hears or smells you, depending on which sense you affect or touches you, is affected by the spell. So there's fantastic possibilities there, and I've explored them a bit with some of the characters I've designed over the years. But I mean, House Bjorne has always been quite popular in our games anyway, hasn't it?
Yeah, we've always had at least one or two magi through the campaigns.
Despite me making jokes about furries and saying, because I mean, the whole anthropomorphised animal thing can be at times a bit twee and cutesy.
It can, yes.
But not if you play actually naturalistic animals. They're very strange, House. I mean, do you think they were lucky to avoid being wiped out with the Diedne?
They were very lucky, yes.
Because they're not by any means a classic. And I mean, the Gothic element, which makes them different to the Latinate Magi, has been something you've actually discovered Gothic as a very useful skill, haven't you?
Oh, well, Gothic, if you're getting into any of the politics or any of the background of House Bjorne, you must be fluent in Gothic.
Yeah, I mean, I think Gothic is... House Bjorne lore is also the house lore that I have seen used most in any game because of this soul nature. I would say, if you haven't tried it, try a short saga. Stay for 3 or 4 sessions, playing a set with a single goal, which could be as simple as protecting a sacred glade or preventing some disaster, or dealing with the enemies of House Bjorne, or driving the Danes off Rugen, whatever kind of game you enjoy running, and try it, because House Bjorne, an all Bjorne campaign can work.
It can work, yes.
Just be careful about allowing a non-Bjorne Magi in, because we made that mistake with Alexander, and he's back at the Covenant, working in his lab as a bonus Argus, because he's got no reason to go to the Gathering of the 12 Years.
That's right, yes. If you're going to do a single house saga, you must make sure everybody plays members of that house.
So, yeah, the single house approach. Would you try it again?
I'd try it again with a different
house. Yeah. And what house would you go for?
I personally want to play a Creamon next, because, again, another one of the houses I haven't touched on.
So you think a Creamon clutch? Well, maybe we'll do that next year. We'll see how it goes.
Yes.
I think, I could probably pull that off, actually. I've got some ideas on what could make that interesting, and I think there are various places you could set a Creamon clutch that could be a lot of fun. Okay then, so, but Would you want to do another Bjorn era only game?
Possibly not, no.
On the grounds that you've now explored it?
Well, we've now explored it, and as we've worked out, in order to get ahead inside House Bjorn era, you've got to be fluent with Gothic pretty much out of the bat. You've got to have a high Bjorn era lore skill. And one thing we have found in Greece as well, you also got to speak both Greek and Latin. So that means that those of us who want to become the Mystagogues in the campaign have had to put an awful lot of their XP into skills, so that means we're fairly weak magically.
Yeah, but you're strong in terms of your shape-changing ability and your ability to do things that other magi would struggle to do.
Yes.
So on the whole, it is working, and it has given you a completely different take on Ars Magica.
Yes, that combined with setting the campaign in Greece.
Well, I think that's just about all we've got time for tonight. This has been Arcane Connection with Lloyd Graney. Thanks, Lloyd.
Yeah, thank you very much.
And we've been discussing the possibilities of playing a single house saga and also the fun that can be had with playing House Bjorn. And I've been CJ. Thank you very much and good night.
Good night.